Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Wow, what a beautiful Sabbath morning to be in the house of God. Are you happy? I am so blessed to be here to worship and to praise God for all the blessings He has bestowed. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Yes. We're all blessed to be here. So I want to thank the Lord for His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, and His goodness that we all still have good health. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
I'd like to welcome each of you we're streaming live in the internet. I'd like to welcome those that are watching on Facebook, everywhere around this world. God has a people that are worshiping Him today. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to kneel and pray that the Lord will empower the words that I speak this morning. Because for such as a time as this, I believe we need to hear the revelation of Christ. So you may just bow your heads while I kneel before my Lord and Savior. He may give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding to discern spiritual and heavenly things. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I am so grateful and thankful that you have given me this opportunity to stand before your people. But this morning I come humbly before your throne of grace on bended knees at the foot of the cross to ask for wisdom and to ask for knowledge and understanding, that as I present your word, it is not my words, but your words that comes directly from the throne of God. Give us understanding, give us this discernment for spiritual and heavenly things. For we know, Father, that we're living not in ordinary times. I pray, Lord, that you will grant us your Holy Spirit now. Be our invited guests. Send your holy and mighty angels to surround this sanctuary, and the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The world needs a revelation of Christ. How many of you believe that? The world needs it. Today our world is in chaos. But before I go into this presentation, I'd like to open up with the Word of God through our Scripture, which is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light, plural, lights in the world. Turn with me to Psalms 97. Psalms 97. I want to set the groundwork on our study this morning on the world needs a revelation of Christ. Psalms 97:11, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. The book of Philippians tells us that we are living in a crooked and perverse nation. Do you see that? I see it. It is a clear indication that this world is never going to be normal again. As you could see, this issue since March has been culminating, and it's not to go away. The Bible tells us that we are living in a crooked and perverse nation. The world needs a revelation of Christ. And my Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 2 that we should be blameless as the sons of God without rebuke. Because we are living in a time in our world where it's perverse. It's crooked. And we need to shine as light, as the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The world needs a revelation of Christ. I'd like to set a statement found in Reflecting Christ, page 231. Reflecting Christ, 231. The world needs today what it needed 1900 years ago. A revelation of Christ. Why? Why does the world need a revelation of Christ? Because we are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime. I'd like to read that one sentence more. We are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime. She continues, she says, at which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stands aghast. You know, that word aghast means we're in amazed. Amazed what is going on in our world. Are you amazed? I'm startled. I'm sometimes confused of what is transpiring in our world. And Ellen White quoted this, written this, 100-something years ago, where she says, God-fearing man everywhere stands aghast, stunned, amazed, stupefied, frightened with horror. If this is just an exercise of what we're going through right now, my brothers and sisters, put on your seatbelts, because we're going for a roller coaster ride. And she says, God-fearing men. Are you a God-fearing man and woman? Yes. We have to be. This is our only hope this morning. The corruption that prevails, it is beyond, listen, the power of human pen to describe. You know, last month when I gave a sermon, I talked about what is happening with COVID-19. No man can concoct. It had to come from beneath. It is satanic. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. We're dealing with the rulers of this darkness of this world. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. And Ellen White tells us this morning, it is because the power of human pen cannot describe it. Every day brings fresh revelations of political strife. Are we in political strife? Every single day, something is transpiring in our world. Whether it be the COVID-19, whether it be political, whether it be wars and rumors of wars, according to Matthew 24. She says, every day brings fresh revelations of political strife, bribery, and fraud. Are you seeing this? Every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness. And it's culminating like a snowball. Of indifference to human suffering. Of brutal, fiendish destruction of human life. What we saw a couple of days ago in Lebanon. I was shocked to see what happened there. Total destruction. What a tragedy. 300,000 people are displaced from their homes. I cannot even imagine something like that. Can you imagine you don't have a home to go to? Where are you going to stay? Let alone go to a supermarket to buy food? I saw a video clip. Someone somewhere in Lebanon that was way out in the country, I guess, because everything was green where they took this film. Photoshop. And they, you know, showed the explosion way in the city. And everyone that was in the city was affected. Is there any wonder why our prophet has told us or counseled us out of the cities? What a tragedy. And Ellen White pens it for us this morning where she says, human suffering, are they suffering back there? My heart felt for these people. Every day, listen, every day testifies to the increase of insanity. Murder. Suicide. You know, the media is not even covering the murders now in the United States. Every day. Chicago. Yesterday, 27 murders. What is going on in our world? Every day testifies to the increase of insanity, murder, suicide. Who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work among men with increasing activity to distract, to corrupt the mind, to defile and destroy the body? We're living in a world of sorrow. What the world needs today is a revelation of Christ. And that's why in our scripture it's telling us we need to be as light shining in this world. Who else is going to be shining in this world? Who? God, raise up this group of people today to give a message. The world needs the revelation of Christ. And while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is too often presented in so a different manner as to make but little impression upon the consciences or the lives of men. This gospel, the Bible tells me in Matthew 24:14, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What is this gospel Ellen White is talking about? You know what it is? The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. And the world needs a revelation of Christ this morning. Everywhere. You know, when our prophet declares everywhere, she doesn't just talk about the United States. She talks everywhere. Everywhere. The hearts are crying out for something which they don't have. Do you have it? I want this to apply to us this morning. Do we have it? Do we have the revelation of Christ in our lives this morning? The people everywhere are crying out for something they don't have. And you can see it all around us this morning. She continues, they long for a power that will give them mastery over sin. They're longing for a power that they can overcome. Before Christ came to this world, the people were in disarray. The Jews, the Hebrews, the people then in Christ's time, they had nothing to look forward to until Jesus came to save them. Amen? Go with me to Luke. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. Are you there? Luke chapter 4, look at verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came to set them free. And today, many, many are looking and crying out for something which they have not. They long for a power that will give them mastery over sin. A power that will deliver them, listen, from the bondage of evil. Something is not right in our world today. And many people are confused. Don't know where to go. Many who once knew the power of God's Word have dwelt where there is no recognition of God. And they long, listen, and they long for a divine presence. Are you longing for a divine presence in your life this morning? Because you and I know this is not going to get any better. We need something out of ourselves. We need a revelation of Christ this morning, as the world needed 1900 years ago. And the prophet is telling us this morning, a great work of reform is demanded. In Maranatha 2:26, she says this, many are without God and without hope in this world. They're living day by day thinking, oh, maybe, just maybe, it'll go away. You and I know it's not going away. But sometimes in my heart I say, please, Lord, let it go away too. But if you read the Bible and the spirit of prophecy together, it'll tell you it won't get better. Many are without hope. Many are without God. And they are guilty, corrupt, and degraded, enslaved by Satan's devices. Could this be in the church too? Could it be? Yet, these are the ones whom Christ came from heaven to redeem. Amen? He came for all of us. He came here for one reason. And he came because of you and me. And if you were the only one here, he would have came to set you free. Amen? And that's why the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. She continues in Maranatha 2:26. She says, they are subjects for tenderest pity, sympathy, and tireless effort. These are people that don't know Christ. You know Christ. You go share Christ. Amen? That's what we were called to do. We are the light of the world. A light that's not hidden. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Go with me there. I don't want to misquote these words, these precious words of ours, of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are you letting your light shine this morning? Without tireless effort, you and I have an important field of labor. You should be active and vigilant, rendering cheerful and unqualified obedience to the Master's call. The scriptures found in the Mount of Blessing, she says, only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of an active Christian virtue, we will not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling all around us, but you will not discern it nor receive it. Unless you are daily advancing. What does that word advancing mean? You're moving forward. Unless you're advancing daily. She didn't say monthly. She didn't say weekly, Jerry. She says daily. In the active Christian virtue, you will not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It might be falling all around you, but you will not discern it nor receive it. It is important that we understand that, my friends. The world needs a revelation of Christ. And how are they to have a revelation of Jesus Christ? It is through you. It is through you and I. Because the Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached into all the world for a what? They're going to see it. They're going to see it through you and through me. You have an important field of labor, and you should be active and vigilant, rendering cheerful and unqualified obedience to the Master's call. She continues in Reflecting Christ, page 231, to everyone. And you know, she didn't say some of you. Everyone means what? Everybody here. And everyone watching through Facebook and YouTube. Everyone who becomes a partaker of His grace, the Lord appoints a work. And you know what this work is? As Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, here am I. Send me. We have an important work. Why? Because we are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime and the corruption that prevails is beyond the power of human pen to describe. You know, as I started to look into this subject of the revelation of Christ, I realize I'm not going to be able to finish what I'm going to present this morning. But praise God, the Lord has given us enough so that we can digest what He's giving us, so that we can apply it and prepare others for what is coming upon this world. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy tells us that there's a storm coming, relentless in its fury. Okay? It's going to get worse. But we have our hope. And God's great love for us is wanting to prepare us for this time. Turn with me. Go with me to Colossians. Go with me to Colossians. We're looking at the revelation of Christ. Are you there? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all the trespasses. Amen? Forgiving us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you, verse 1, He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. Amen? He's rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us to together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Verse 6. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ is His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, He died for you and me. In Maranatha 2:27, our Savior understood all about our human nature. And He says to every human being, be ye therefore perfect, as God is perfect. And as many as received Him, to them He gave them power. Reflecting Christ, 2:27. God wants us to have the intelligence to prepare for the times that are coming ahead of us. A great work of reform is needed in each of our lives this morning, because this is our only hope. Amen? You know, I looked up that word, virtue, because it says being active in Christian virtue. It means moral goodness. It means your moral duties. It means conformity of life and conversation to the moral law. That means the gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. Did you get that? The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. And character consists of what? Thoughts and feelings. So your thoughts must be subjected to the will of God. And your feelings are to be controlled by reason and religion. Okay, you guys didn't get that. Let me say it again. Character is the only thing you're taking to heaven. Because, listen, in order for the world to see the revelation of Christ, they need to see the character of Christ in... I only heard two people say you. Wake up! They need to see the revelation of Christ in you. Because if we are going to heaven, the only thing we are taking to heaven is our character. And character consists of thoughts and feelings. Our thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God. Amen? And our thoughts and feelings are to be controlled by reason and religion. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be what? They shall be as wool. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So our characters, needs to be controlled by thoughts and feelings. And the Bible is telling us, come, let's reason together. The Bible also tells us that we are all sinful. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppression. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let's reason. Jesus is telling us this morning. Let's talk about this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made as wool. If you are willing and obedient. So thoughts and feelings combine, make up the moral character. Thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God, and religion must be controlled. Listen to this. Ellen White tells us in Our Father's Care, page 176. She says, the religion of Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse. You guys are not coarse, right? Huh? You're always loving. Amen? The religion of Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse. What is coarse? What does that word coarse mean? You're like sandpaper. See, when we have the religion of Christ, you're never like a sandpaper. You're not rough. You're never discourteous. Oops. Or self-important. When was the last time you were in line? The line was long. And somebody cut in front of you. You get upset because she cut. in front of me. Never discourteous. Never self-important. You're always passionate. You're never hard-hearted. On the contrary, it refines the taste. This is the religion of Jesus. This is character. We need to show the world a revelation of Christ. And what we're talking about is the religion of Jesus refines the taste. Sanctifies the judgment. Purifies and ennobles the thoughts. Where does sin begin? In the mind. And that's why our scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it down. Devil's always tempting us, trying to discourage us. And the religion of Jesus never degrades the receiver. It refines the taste. It sanctifies the judgment. It purifies and ennobles the thoughts by bringing them into captivity. You see, the moment the devil tempts you, you can dwell on that thought, or you can cast it down. Amen? You see, my friends, a character formed according to the divine likeness is the only treasure. Not your gold and silver now. Not your bank account. Your character formed according to divine likeness is the only treasure that we can take from this world to the next. Maranatha 2:23. True character. Because if there's a true character, there's a false character. And the world needs a revelation of Christ. So how? How do we share that character? How do we share it? You know, this mount of blessing is so much to share that my time is going to run out. But I want to share this anyway. We need to present this character in a way where people are going to want to know who Jesus Christ is. Amen? She tells us in Mount of Blessing, she says, let me look at the Bible text first, which is found in James chapter 1, verse 27. Turn with me there. Because we're talking about the religion of Jesus. And this religion of Jesus is found in James chapter 1. Look with me to James. Are you there? James 1:27. Pure religion. Are you there? Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So this religion, according to the character of Christ, thoughts and feelings are to be brought into subject, are to be brought to, subjected to the will of God. And what is that will of God for us? You know what it is? The will of God is to be sanctified, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. And our only safety this morning is to lie low at the foot of the cross, be little in our own eyes, and trust in God, for He alone has the power to make us great. Amen? And in the Mount of Blessing, she tells us the character of Christ. Let me find that. The will of God. This is what she says. The will of God is expressed in the precept of His holy law. Because if we were to give the will of God, we need that will of God in us. The will of God is expressed in the precept of His holy law. And the principles of this law are the principles of heaven. So, in every soul whom Christ, the hope of glory, dwells, His words are re-echoed. I delight to do Thy will, yea, Thy law is within my heart. So the revelation of Christ is His character. And true character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the true principles of righteousness, which is the law of God, according to Psalms 119, 172, the true principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Our profession may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. The consistent life, I've shared this before, but I always resort back to the true character of Christ, because this is what we're taking to heaven. And if our lives are consistent, the consistent life, the holy conversation, the unswerving integrity, the active benevolent spirit, and the godly example, these are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. Remember the text that I opened up with in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15? That we are to be lights in this world. Because right now, our world is in darkness. And we are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime. Every day brings a fresh revelation of political strife, bribery and fraud. And you know, my friends, this morning, the world needs what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Jesus Christ. And where are they going to find it? Where are they going to seek for it? God is raising up a group of people. Amen? Who are these people that are going to reflect the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's to reveal Christ in this world. It is a great work of reformation for all of us. Very important. I want to talk about that reformation. She says that if Christ is dwelling in the heart, it is impossible to conceal the light of His presence. If those who profess to be light followers of Christ are not the light of the world, it is because the vital power has left them. If they don't have light to give, it is because they are not connected to the source of light. Are we connected to the source of light this morning? Huh? So much that we need to learn. We need to live an active Christian virtue. In Review and Herald, November 4, 1890, she states here, while God can be just and yet justify the sinner through the merits of Christ, no man can cover his soul with the garments of Christ, with the righteousness of Christ, while practicing known sins. We cannot reveal the revelation of Christ if we are not practicing Christ. If we're holding on or practicing known sins or neglecting known duties, God requires a complete, full surrender of the heart. A full surrender of the heart before justification can take place. You know, the world today is saying, well, you know, we're under grace, so we're going to be saved. We're going to be saved. I said, that's true. But my Bible also tells me that if a soul sinneth, it shall die. None of this once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that if you sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Turn with me to Hebrews, quickly. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're looking at the world needs a revelation of Christ. In order for us to share Christ in the world, we need to reflect the character of Christ. And in order to share the character of Christ, we have to control our thoughts and feelings and have the character that will take us to heaven. But look at verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. And what is this knowledge? Here it is. The knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. It is the knowledge that works transformation of character. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed of lack of knowledge. Why are they destroyed of lack of knowledge? It's because they haven't had a transformation of character. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, that we receive the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So if you willfully, if we sin willfully, and you, after you've received the knowledge, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin. Go with me to Hebrews 6. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good of the Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. If you fall away after you have given your life to the Lord, the Bible tells us, it's impossible for those who have once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gifts, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if they shall fall away. So there is no once saved, always saved. Every day, as Paul says, I die daily. I surrender to Christ. In order for us to tell the world a revelation of Jesus Christ, we need to fully surrender our life to Him first. We are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime, at which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stands aghast, meaning in horror, frightened, We're struck with amazement of what is going on in our world. She continues, she says, the corruption that prevails, it is beyond the power of the human pen to describe. Every day brings revelations of political strife. And you are seeing it right now, my brothers and sisters. Political strife. It is not about political, Democrat or Republican. It is not about that anymore. It's about a new world order that's coming. It's here. Thank you, Ron. Every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness. Do you see lawlessness in our state, in our America? Every day testifies to the increase of insanity. I think everything, what's going on in this world today is insane. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You've lost your civil liberties. Bye-bye. No one's protesting anymore. We've laid down and let them step all over us. To shut our churches down. Where are the protesters? Where are the Seventh-day Adventist protesters? They're protesting for other reasons. Hold that question. Where are they? Every day testifies to the increase of insanity. Who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work among men with increasing activity to distract, to corrupt the mind, to defile and to destroy the body? That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy all of us. We need to stand up this morning and be like Paul. You know what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Turn with me to Philippians. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Quickly. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. That ye may be blameless. What is blameless? Faultless. Without fault. That ye be faultless or blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're living in a crooked and perverse nation today. Something is not right. But here in Scripture, it's telling us, among him, he shines as light in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. You know that word perfection is in the Bible. Amen? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Paul is telling us, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. Ellen White tells us in 231 of Reflecting Christ, and while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is too often presented in so indifferent a manner as to make but little impression upon the consciences or the lives of men. Everywhere there are hearts crying out for something which they have not. They long for a power that will give them mastery over sin. A power that will deliver them from the bondage of evil. This morning, are we struggling with something in our lives that are separating us from Christ? Because the world is longing for something beyond above themselves. They need a power from above to help them separate themselves from the bondage of evil. Whatever it might be that is separating me from Jesus, I have to surrender it. I have to cut it off. My friends, unless we cut this bondage that's severing us, we will never be able to reveal the revelation of God. It will be impossible. It is impossible to conceal the light of His presence. We are to give this light to a dying world. Many who once knew the power of God's word have dwelt where there is no recognition of God, and they long for a divine presence. And the way they're going to see the glory of God is through the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. And character is what we are going to take to heaven. When we show the world the character of Christ, then they will be able to discern the revelation of Christ. May God bless us today as we continue to study, because my friends, our only foundation is the Word of God. Everything I base on what I believe is on a thus it is written. Not on MSNBC, not on CNN, not on Fox News, not on ABC News, not on whatever Nelson's news is out there. There's no foundation in those media coverage. Your only foundation is in the Word of God. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning, how many of you want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Amen. Amen. I need to rededicate my life, because we are living in a time of trouble, and it's going to be increasing until Jesus comes. So let us pray today that as we rededicate our lives, that the Lord will give us the power to overcome every besetting sin that's prevailing in this world. Let us pray. Let's kneel. our Father in heaven. We are grateful and thankful, Lord, for the privilege you've given us to study your words on your holy Sabbath day. Father, you saw their hands that went up, including mine, that we want to rededicate our lives to you. Father, there is no other foundation that no man can lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our only foundation is in you, Lord. I pray that you will grant us your mercy, your compassion, and your long-suffering. For we're living in a critical time in earth history. We're seeing it, Lord. It is very clear to us that your coming is imminent. Prepare us for the crisis that is coming ahead. Give us the strength. Give us the faith we need for these times. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Search our hearts. Know our hearts, Lord. Know our thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in us. And lead us in the way of everlasting this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed. And Lord, as we continue to look to Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, I pray that you might prepare us. And Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed. Most of all, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer, but not only hearing, but answering our prayer this morning. All these things we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.